Elder Will, thank you for praying for me. And thank you for reading Psalm 24. That's one of my favorites. Well, good morning again. And I expected a rainy morning, but I see the sunshine, and I'm thankful for that. If you would, please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless this time, sanctify this time. I pray that you will use this message to warn, lovingly warn, and to encourage, very much to encourage the body. Lord, I love this church. I love every person here. And may your blessings be upon them. Amen. Well, when Pastor Daniel asked me to pray on this date, June 10th, I really wasn't real sure what to preach about. And I took a little bit of time and I prayed about it, as we should, and sought the Lord. And it seemed pretty quickly evident what I really desired to preach, and bounced it off Marla. She confirmed that. And the title of this morning's message is Run for Your Life, The Dangers of Sexual Immorality. Well, why a sermon on sexual immorality? Well, the sad fact is we live in a very immoral, very sensual, sexually obsessed culture. Sexual sin, as you well know, it's rampant. We live in a confused nation, a nation that's lost its way, very much abandoned the Bible, celebrates sin, and you know this, but we're confused about even the most basics of basics. Even think about it with gender. Isn't that basic? But confused about that. We have men using women's restrooms, locker rooms, just the insanity of that. I saw here recently at a girls' track meet, okay, a girls' track meet, the 100-meter race. This is in Connecticut. Well, guess who won the girls' state track meet in the 100-meter? It was a transgender male. It was a biological male that won the girls' state track meet. And then guess who got second? It was another biological male, finished second in the girls' state track meet. So we're confused. Now, the body of Christ is not, but the nation is for sure. Now, temptations abound. We have these little devices here, these phones. They're mini computers is what they are. And they can take us places we should never, ever go, right? They can show images. We can see images on here that we should never look at, right there at our fingertips. So we need to be diligent, faithful in these times. We can get a little desensitized. We can be kind of like the fish that doesn't know it's wet. But I believe this topic, this is a vital, relevant topic for today. And my main objective this morning, I want to encourage the church, the body of Christ, to be faithful, to be watchful, to be pure, and to be what we're called to be, the body of Christ. The other day I read Philippians 2 and talking about the church. The church is to be blameless, pure, clean, innocent. We're to be children of God without fault in the midst of a twisted and crooked generation. We're to shine like lights in the world or like stars in the sky. Faith Bible Church, we are called to be a holy assembly, set apart, countercultural. And we're living this life out before God. He sees all before his holy angels. But with this theme in mind, with the church, let's read together Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 1 through 14. I hope I can read this. It's my small print Bible, but there's good light here. Ephesians 5, 1 through 14. And I want you, as we read this, focus on verse 3. As I read verse 3, focus on that. And see where this sin, the sin of sexual immorality, it's not to be named among us. And there's another version that says not a hint, not even a hint of sexual immorality. So Ephesians 5, I'll read 1 through 14. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Here's verse 3. But sexual immorality, all impurity or covetousness, must not even be named among you as proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which is out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure this is powerful. You may be sure that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it's shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So there you have it, not a hint of sexual immorality. That's no flirting. Got a little list here, no dirty jokes, no romance novels, no fantasizing in the mind, no looking up old romances on Facebook. Can you think of how many marriages have been destroyed, ruined because of people reconnecting with old flames on Facebook? No emotional adultery. Sometimes people, they don't commit physical adultery, but there's that emotional connection with someone of the opposite sex that is not appropriate. Absolutely no pornography, no fornication. We're to be like Job, who made that covenant with his eyes, like Joseph. What did Joseph do? He ran from that temptation. And ladies, you don't have to be nice. If somebody, an old boyfriend, contacts you on Facebook, you don't have to be nice and polite to them. They want you to sin. Possibly. You don't have to be polite. So we need to be uncompromising in this area. Marla and I, we like Vodi Bakum a lot. And remember years ago hearing him say this, one of those things you don't forget about not compromising. He said, brownies. Think about brownies. Might like brownies, to eat brownies. You wouldn't eat a brownie if it had a little bit of kitty litter in it. Would you? Absolutely not. Think of this. Would you drink an iced tea or a lemonade if it had just a drop of toilet water in it? No way. And we're not to compromise. For example, movies. We're not to watch a movie. It might just have that little drop of toilet water, just that little scene in that movie. But we're not to compromise in that way. Now, there's so many warnings from the Word of God regarding the dangers of sexual immorality. We could look at so many verses. We could go to Proverbs. You have Solomon, like a father instructing his sons about the wayward woman, about the unchaste woman. He's warning them, don't even go near her house. Don't go near her house. Don't lust after her beauty. Don't be seduced by her lips. Her feet go down to hell. Matthew 5, Jesus says, to look at a woman and to lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. And he, after that, it's, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. I heard Al Martin preach on this, just a little clip, and he's so loud and bold, but he's talking about don't take a little parry knife and start cutting at your hand or just scratching at your eye. You cut it off and you gouge it out. Now there's those verses, 1 Corinthians 6, Galatians 5. There's all these lists. These two, 1 Corinthians, Galatians 5, lists of who will not inherit the kingdom. And guess what's at the top of that list? Both lists. It's sexual immorality. There's that mysterious verse in 1 Corinthians as well, that every other sins outside the body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Revelation, I think it's 22, talks about this great city. It's a great city. What's outside the great city? It's the sexually immoral. I remember as a young man, I did not grow up in going to church, Christian family, and I heard just little inklings of, you know, things like this. Just little things here and there. I had a friend I played basketball with, and his dad was a preacher. Maybe I heard a little bit from him, but fornicators will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And that concerned me a little bit, because I was a fornicator. That concerned me. But it didn't concern me at the time enough to flee that sin, because I loved my sin. And I didn't really believe. And I had no real fear of God. But may that not be anyone here. Now we just read Ephesians 5, 1 through 14. Let's go back just a little bit. I want to read one more scripture here. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. And I want you to see what we're up against here a little bit. We've got this unholy trinity that's coming against us, this that we're at war with. And you probably know what it is. We have the world against us. We have the flesh that's against us. And we have that adversary, the devil, who's against us. And we'll see that here. Ephesians 2, 1 and few verses. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Boy, we could go on and on about that. In which you once, I like that, once walked, following the course of this world. There's the world. Following the prince of the power of the air. There's the devil. The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body. There's the flesh. So we have this unholy trinity against us. Now the world, I know Alex has been teaching on this, but it can mean cosmos. The world is the Lord's, as Elder Will read. And, you know, the universe, the planets, the stars. And it all, it's for him and brings him glory. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the worldly system of things, which is opposed to God and opposed to us. But the problem with the world right now, in its current state, it's fallen. The world is fallen, and we have to live in it. We have to live in this fallen world. Reminds me, just on the way to church, there's this billboard on our way to church for an adult bookstore. I hate that there. Marla and I and the kids, we were traveling just a little bit, and we like to go to little thrift shops, little antique stores, and we're walking through there. And Marla, you may not even know this, but there's some Playboy magazines sitting out there. and the kids, everybody's behind me, and I'm like, Marla, go that way. It's just there. I'm in Barnes & Noble the other night working on this sermon, and to get to the tables, and you got to go through all these magazine racks, and you know what the world throws at you with these magazines. But the world promotes sin. The world does this. It calls adultery. It says it's a love affair. Adultery is a love affair. It's romantic. It's exciting. No, it's sin. It is gross sin. But we have to navigate through this world, this sinful world. But we're not to be like the pigs. Pigs do what? They love to wallow in the mud, right? They love to get down and get dirty. But we're like the sheep. We don't want to wallow in the filth. Now, our feet will get dirty. Can't go through this world without our feet getting dirty. But we want to be washed and clean. And we are washed and clean by the blood. But James 4 tells us, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. It's the duty of every Christian man, woman, boy, and girl to be set apart, to flee temptation, to be holy, to resist. Now we have that wonderful promise. Jesus has overcome the world. Enemy number two is the flesh. Ephesians called it the passions of the flesh, the desires of the body. As long as we live on this earth, God did not choose to just save us and take us right to heaven or make it where we cannot sin. He didn't do that. But as long as we're in the body, these earthen vessels, we'll have to contend with the flesh. And this is a good principle. Understand, sin usually, it starts in the mind, doesn't it? It starts in the mind. Then it goes to the body, and then to the will, and we sinfully embrace sin. But the world, it will cater to the flesh. It caters to sinful flesh for a lot of reasons. I remember I was sharing the gospel with a man, I think it was a 7-Eleven, and he was at the counter there and talking to him, and he seemed to be engaging and wanting to talk, and we talked. People would come in, buy something, and we wouldn't talk anymore. They'd leave, we'd have a little time, we'd talk again. People in and out, we're done talking, then we talk again. But I noticed, it seemed like, these people, what are they buying? And I mentioned it to this guy, man, you sell a lot of alcohol here, and cigarettes. They're selling these addictive things that get in people's system, and that's what they desire. But I want to make a point here. Before I do, I want to say this too. I remember regarding this addiction thing. I remember years ago hearing about a Major League Baseball player. I hadn't remembered his name. It just came to me right when I said that. But a Major League Baseball player. And it's a long time ago. And I read in Sports Illustrated or something that he was suffering from sexual addiction. And that was the first time I ever heard something like that. It's like, what? Sexual addiction? Now, I know there's perversion out there, but I hadn't heard it quite, like that. But John Piper, he brought up something. I heard this sermon 3 years ago, and regarding addiction, regarding this power. Listen to this. I think that he made some powerful points. He said, addiction is a relative term. And at his point, you're not really addicted, anyone, to porn or sex and things like that, like you might think. Now, there are pathological people that are so depraved, but people are not addicted like they may think. He said this, if the stakes are high enough and sure enough, you will have self-control. If the stakes are high enough and sure enough, you'll have self-control. Now, I may not get this exactly right, but this is basically what he said. Say you have this real strong desire. You're on the internet. And you have some sinful desire to look at something you shouldn't look at. Click on that website, whatever, image. You have this strong desire. somebody comes somehow, offers you $1 million. You're offered $1 million tax-free, it's in a satchel, you can have it right there if you don't click on that image. You wouldn't do it. Everybody here, in your mind, you would not do it. Same thing if he used another example kind of like this. Say somebody you really, really love. If you knew they were going to be brutally murdered or put to death, if you did this sin, you committed the fornication, adultery, or clicked on that pornography, you knew they were going to die and you knew it was going to happen, you would not do it, right? So we do, even in a worldly sense, even those who are unregenerate could resist under those kind of circumstances. But how much more those of us, we're born again. We're born again, we're new creations. Think of this, the Spirit of the Almighty God dwells in us. We're new creations. We are not slaves to sin. We are slaves to righteousness. We can resist these evil temptations. Enemy number three, as if the world isn't bad enough, the flesh isn't bad enough, we have this other enemy, right? Satan, the devil. Some people think they're too sophisticated, too intellectual, too modern to believe in the devil. But they're wrong. The devil is real, and he does wield much influence in this world. Now, people can do the wrong thing, underestimate him, deny him, or we can overestimate him. He is not omnipresent. He is not omnipotent. He is God's devil in a sense. So let's don't overestimate his power. There's much mystery, if you really think about it, surrounding the devil. But we know this. We know he's our adversary. We know he is active. And we know he's aggressive. I'll give you a little illustration. I was talking to a guy in a McDonald's parking lot. Had this little dog just yapping right there at my feet. And I didn't give it hardly any concern at all. This little thing, until I walked away, I thought, man, that dog was annoying. Just yapping at my ankles. But the devil's not like that. Christian, the other day, he gets attacked by a German Shepherd. Wasn't severe, but that German Shepherd ripped his pants, tore his pants. He was going after him. He's being aggressive. But the devil's worse than that. He's described as being like a lion who's hungry. He wants to seek whom he may devour, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Now, the devil, he's aggressive. He's an evil tempter. He tells us sin is good. He tries to magnify sin before us, the pleasure of sin. He's like that good fisherman who knows how to hook a bait, put something that fish want. He does that. He tries to do that to us. He's that expert hunter. He sets traps all around trying to trap us. But we have a wonderful promise. We have the promise that if we resist the devil, if we resist him, he will flee. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. Now, with the remainder of our time, I didn't want this to go on, too long, but I want to give you six reasons to flee sexual immorality. Six reasons to run from this sin. Could give you 100. We could spend the day going over reasons to flee this sin. But this sin is against our God. God who sees everything, who loves us, who we're wedded to, who suffered. He suffered and he died for us. He's given us everything that we have. And when we sin in that manner, it's aligning with the devil, with the world and the devil. It's treason. Our bodies, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. They're not made for sexual immorality. We bring great shame. If you're to fall in this sin, you bring great shame to the name of Christ. Another reason. Number two. This is a sin that has destroyed countless, countless souls. Imagine all the souls in hell who have indulged in this sin. And And I pray, I hope there's not anyone here. God knows. But if you're living a kind of a secret dark life, a double life of indulging in this sin, and you've made peace with it, I lovingly warn, if you are in that category, if you've made peace with sin, you're at war with God, and I would direct you to Christ. This sin is not worth your soul. Repent, truly repent, truly believe in the gospel and embrace Christ. But this sin, it has ruined so many people. Think of all the pastors who've fallen. Ministries ruined. Finances ruined. Physical bodies ruined. Reputations ruined. Testimony ruined because of this sin. But if you're, and I believe most, this is a largely regenerate church, if you are a Christian and you fall in this sin, you'll be disciplined. You'll be disciplined. And we don't hear a lot about that in Christian world, but discipline by God can be very severe. Think of King David. Now, he committed adultery and murder, but he was severely disciplined. He lost a son. The sword would not be removed from his house. But if you fall in this way, you can count on it. You will be disciplined. Number four, another reason. This is a sinister and a dangerous sin. It's a sin of progression. Sin has an appetite. It hungers. Give it an inch, it wants a mile. It wants more and more. We can't give in to it. Think of King David. He's on that roof, right? Just glances. It's just a glance to Bathsheba. And next thing you know, he's committing adultery. And then it progresses to murder. And you can be sure, when this sin is prevalent, sexual sin is prevalent, you've got other sins going along with it. You've got lying, maybe lying to a spouse. You've got coveting, idolatry. You've got dishonoring your parents. This is not just an isolated sin. I know a pastor, I've told you this before, I know a pastor that I used to go out, share the gospel on the streets with. He's in prison right now because of child pornography. Do you think when he started that's where he was going to end up, in prison? And then there's that ultimate prison, the prison of hell, for those who aren't truly saved. Another reason, this one's five, to flee sexual immorality. If you're married, a lot of people are married here. If you're married, you've entered into a sacred covenant with your spouse. You will ruin intimacy with your spouse if you fall in this sin. If you say you're single, you're not married yet, you're going to ruin future intimacy. If God doesn't have mercy on you, reboot your mind. This sin ruins marriages, it breaks trust, ruins relationships, causes such pain. Think of the pain that spouses go through and children. Don't think you can do this sin and you wouldn't cause your children pain. How are you going to be salt and light to a world and to your family when you're engaging in this filth? Also, along these lines, if you're a member of Faith Bible Church, you've made a covenant. You have made a covenant with your brothers and your sisters, pastor, the church, God's church, to honor the Lord, to be devoted to Him for the rest of your life. You've made a covenant at this church with your other fellow believers. And we do have a big influence on one another. Six, you will experience extreme guilt. If you're a true believer, Spirit of God dwells in you, you will experience extreme guilt. Tremendous guilt. You will be bogged down with guilt over this sin. A lot of people, they'll lack assurance because of this sin. Piper said, it's a joy killer. It really is. Like very few sins. Understand that first few sips, sweet, as they say, and it ends up, it's very bitter. Maybe just that little sin here, and it just gnaws at you. It keeps you from joy, the joy in the Lord. But there's a cure. I don't want to go too far without really stressing the cure. There is a cure, the Lord Jesus. True repentance, and faith in Christ. Now, final thoughts. These are just some final thoughts, admonitions, just some practical things. One, I love Pastor Daniel so much. He said this, really stuck in my mind. Pray that you won't even be tempted. I thought, wow, that's good. Pray you won't even be tempted. You kind of don't think to do that. Just pray you won't be tempted in this area. But if you are, pray when you're tempted, you'll stand and you'll be like Joseph and you'll flee. You'll flee the sin. This is good. Resist temptations while they're small. Isn't it true? A big fire is a whole lot harder to put out than a small fire. A little hole can be plugged up a lot easier than a big hole. I don't know who said this, but you know, think of a ship. These little holes, they grow, and a little hole can sink a big ship. So in a sense, plug these holes. Plug them while they're small. One way to do that, avoid temptations. Things that you know might be a trigger. Think of this, you know, guys, maybe you don't want to go to the beach. It's amazing how it's like people wearing their underwear at the beach, right? You don't want to go to your apartment pool complex. It's just not a good place for you to be. Maybe the gym that you work out at, maybe people dress really inappropriately there and there's just a lot of temptation. I'm not going to go to that gym. Well, go to another gym. It's good to work out, but be wise. A young man, respect him a lot. He's not here today, but he said something, and it's long line, build hedges. He didn't say that, but that's what he was doing. He was building a hedge. He told me, as we were kind of talking about this topic, he said, I won't be in a house alone with my girlfriend. Good job. He's building a hedge, you know, protection. You're not going to fall if he's not going to even be in this place alone with his girlfriend, you know, until they're, you know, married. Avoid idleness. Young people, avoid idleness. Go to bed exhausted. He's talking about working out. Work out. Use up that energy. Get involved in ministry. Pour yourself into evangelism or whatever. Just pursuing Christ, following Him. Go to table talk on Tuesday. Come here to the prayer meeting on Wednesday. Fill up your time. Don't have a lot of this idle time. Here's a biggie. Don't comfort yourself, guys, by confiding in men who struggle. Say you struggle, sinfully so, with looking at things you shouldn't look at. And you go to another man who struggles in that way too, and you guys, you have a pity party. Don't do that. Be around men that will look you in the eye and say, this is not acceptable. This is wicked. This is evil. You've got to flee this now. I think that is important. See the sin for what it is. I wrote a few things down here. It's dirty. It's demonic. It's vile. It's wicked. It's evil. It's wrongful passions, twisted passions. That's what it is. It's depraved. Now, how do we avoid this sin? You have to starve it. Starve it. hunger for righteousness. Feed the mind things that are good. Don't get yourself inflamed with sin. It's not like quitting smoking. You know, somebody who wants to quit smoking, they might think, okay, I'm smoking a pack a day, now I'm going to go down to a half, then down to a third. No, don't give yourself. If you have that attitude, that's not repentance. I'm going to still do it, I'm just going to slow down, cut it in half. No, it's kill it. It's absolutely, you got to gouge it out. You got to cut it off. It might be embarrassing. Confess it to someone you trust. Not to somebody who's going to comfort you in that sin. But confess it to somebody. Bring it to the light. The devil loves darkness. Secrets. Bring it to the light. I love this. And I mentioned this probably years ago in a sermon. The Fireproof movie. You guys, how many have seen Fireproof? Okay, a lot of you. This will come to your mind then. As I say this, you had Caleb, right? Caleb's a firefighter. He's struggling with pornography, right? And it's causing major problems in his marriage. And then here's another little thing I didn't really think about, but remember his wife. She knows what's going on. She's hurt. It's ruining their marriage. She's working at this hospital. And then here comes the charming doctor. Remember that? Watch out, ladies, for that, charmer. The devil will set that trap for you. But the point of this fireproof illustration, think of what Caleb did. I like it. He is convicted. He's truly saved. And he realizes he's got to cut off, gouge out. What do you see him do? Can you see it in your mind? In that driveway, what's he do? He takes that computer, rips it out of the wall, takes the computer to the driveway, and he starts pounding that with a baseball bat. Just pounding the computer with a baseball bat. And then there's the neighbor. Remember him? He's like, what in the world is that guy doing? Well, Caleb is gouging out. He's cutting off with that baseball bat. I thought of this. He's hitting a home run, a grand slam. But we need to be like Caleb in that movie. Whatever you got to do, do it. But we've got weapons. God has given us weapons. The Word of God. Scripture memory. Being around other believers that are faithful and zealous for holiness and Christ. The church. Come to the church. Hear the sermons. These graces. Take advantage of these graces, but pursue Christ. Pursue Him. Pursue holiness. Behold the beauty of Jesus. Sometimes I say in my mind, Lord, I love you more. And that's from that fireproof. He said to his wife, I love you more. He wrote that little note, put it on the table where the computer was. I love you more. But we can tell the Lord that I love you more, Lord Jesus, than this sin. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I like this too, Pastor stresses this. We're turning away. Remember, when you're turning away from something, what are you doing? You've got to turn to something. Turn away from sin, but you got to turn to Jesus Christ. Turn to Him. I'm going to wrap up here really soon. But here's a warning. I like this. Sin knows your name, knows your address, knows where you live, and it's going to come up the driveway, right? And it's going to knock on your door. It might even pound on your door. And what do you do? I mean, we're in this world. The devil is here. We have, the flesh to contend with, and we can put this thing to death. Yes, but it will knock on your door, and you've got to do like what Caleb did. You meet it at the door, and you have no mercy on it, and you pound it with a baseball bat or a sword, the sword of the Spirit. But be ready. We've got to be diligent against the sin, constant diligence. You can't let down with this kind of sin. I wasn't sure I was going to say this, but it's mainly a young man sin, but it affects us all. But I remember there's this older gentleman, an older man, and true story, he was just lamenting on his deathbed, lamenting, "I just couldn't kill it. I just couldn't kill that sin." You don't want that. You don't want to be on your deathbed knowing, "I just couldn't kill that sin." Don't be like that man. Well, know this, there's forgiveness. There is forgiveness for even the grossest of sin. There's divine help. There's victory. There's our advocate. But I want you to, my prayer would be that every single person here who's listening, that you would be resolved to never, I'm never again clicking on that pornography. Never again. With God's help. Now here's something to think about. If you're walking in victory, and I hope you are, but remain humble. Remain humble over that. It's easy to exchange one sin for another. You're not engaging in these sinful practices and minds. You're meditating on Christ for the most part. But it's easy. Okay, now I'm not doing that, but now I'm self-righteous. Wouldn't that be easy to become self-righteous and proud? And it's just another exchanging of sin. You can be the most holy person in Springfield in this area, and if you're not washed clean by Christ, His standard is perfection. But you know, somebody could be so clean in this area, and you'd still go to hell. We need to be washed clean of every single sin, and only the blood of Christ can do that. Well, so much more could be said. I'm going to close here, but let me say this. A lot of negative things, but you know, sex is good. Sex is good within its context, within the bounds of holy matrimony between a man and a woman. It's a gift. It's a gift of God. It's great. Pursue your spouse. And Will said that, you know, there's the seminar on marriage, right? What a picture of the church, marriage, and the gospel. Protect your gift, your marriage. I guarantee you, doesn't the devil really hate marriage? And that's why he wants to distort it. You know how he's doing that. He hates the church. He hates the picture of the church of marriage. So be aware of his schemes. Walk upright in the midst of this sinful, crooked generation. We can do it. We're going to meet together in heaven. Let's be pure. Let's be holy. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Spirit. Holy Spirit, Lord, help us as we walk in this world to be blameless before a sinful world. We need you so much. We couldn't do anything without your help. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.